This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, hello again out there to everybody at TFMR and the world beyond. Hey, guess what? It's time for another special podcast where we bring in some mining executives from around the world and get you familiarized with what they're doing, the companies they're currently involved in, and maybe it's something that you've not heard of before. I've got a new one for you today. This company's called Prospect Ridge Resources, and it just IPO'd back in May, so it hasn't been around very long. So it's something that I hadn't heard of, and I figured you probably hadn't heard of it either. But when Dan and his team at Future Money Trends brought it to my attention, I thought, okay, now this kind of intrigues me a little bit. So joining me for this call is Nick Luckshaw. He's the president of Prospect Ridge Resources, and he's going to fill in some of the blanks on the story for us so we can get it all right from the horse's mouth. Nick, thank you. Thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Craig. I'm happy to be here.
This is really a very interesting story because of just the ground in general. I mean, the property you've got there is almost like the size of a district, really, in British Columbia. The whole way you got this thing started, I found very interesting. You've got a great background of experience in the capital markets, and you are president of this company, but the guy that's the CEO is somebody that that a lot of folks will recognize, Michael Iverson. Tell us a little bit about how you guys got involved and what intrigued you to get Prospect Ridge Resources off the ground.
Yeah, so having Mike on is quite a feather in our cap. He's legendary. He's had numerous big successes in his career. And he actually came out of retirement for this. Just to back it up a little bit, anyone who doesn't know who Michael Iverson is, he was one of the co-founders and former chairman, CEO of Fortuna Silver. At Fortuna Silver, Mike took them from being not much to having a market cap of $1.8 billion. And at this point in time, they've produced about $2.5 billion worth of silver. And then they were bought out by Osisko. Mike also was co-founder and led Now Gold, which they got bought out by Osisko as well. And then again, now with Volcanic Gold. So he's got major, major, major credentials and a ton of experience. And we're very happy to have him as our CEO. And he came out of retirement for the property we call the Holy Grail. And he did so because he saw the rocks that were coming off the property and he couldn't resist it. He brought in some of his own geological minds to have a look and see if they agreed with what he was seeing. They did. And from there on out, it was game on. Retirement was put on hold. He's come on as captain of the ship. And we're doing a lot of really exciting things in the property.
Now, Nick, you've invested a lot of your own money. And Mike and himself personally and some of the people that he's run with now for decades, they're involved too, because, again, the initial excitement of what you've seen in this property.
Yeah, and there's a ton, you know. You're seeing these big gold grades and silver grades coming off the property consistently. Also, there's things like infrastructure and access that's made it very easy to get to a lot of the spots that we're going to drill. We've got four spots that are drill ready. We've got 4 to 6 more by spring, which is awesome. And as you mentioned, Mike came into this bringing guys that would have been with him as long as 30 years. I myself brought in my own personal network, including my family. We have total confidence that we're going to make this into a big winner. All the pieces of the puzzle are there. And to give you an idea of the types of people that have come into this is we have two families involved that are billionaires. We have one that's half a billionaire and many others that are just, you know, multimillionaire investment type groups. Uh-huh. But a lot of confidence and there's a lot of power in this company because we feel that we are onto something huge.
All right. So now let's talk about it. You're up in British Columbia, which we already know most folks recognize. I mean, that is a precious metal and even industrial metal rich area. You call it the Holy Grail. And everybody will see some links on this webpage so you can do all, you know, read about these things yourself. But I thought that's a great name for a property there in British Columbia. Tell us about it and I guess how you guys came to own it.
So the name, of course, is funny in some ways and you know, kind of true in others the way we see it. The Holy Grail is that thing that people spend their entire lives searching for, and specifically in mining. it's only about one in 10,000 mining companies that become a success. So we gave it that name due to the fact that it appears to be the holy grail of mining, with tons of gold, tons of silver, and many, many other minerals easily accessible. And the property is huge, and it shows it all over. Anyone who's familiar with the Golden Triangle, we sit directly south of that, just north of Paris, British Columbia. And the geology is exact same on our property in the Holy Grail as it is in the Golden Triangle. So when you look at some of the existing mines that are in the Golden Triangle and what they're pulling out in terms of gold, well, their teams that found those mines, it's all the same geology that we're seeing all over our property as well.
Often probably not just gold too. I mean, you've got silver and other metals that you think you've got.
There's silver, there's copper, there's zinc. We've seen a little bit of rare earth. We've seen a little bit of lithium. We've seen all kinds of stuff. The rocks that are coming out of the property are just crazy. They're so highly mineralized. The geologists that have come and gotten on board, seeing how excited they get when they see this, it's cool to see, but it's also fun to see because, you know, those are the guys that use science to prove that we're really on to what we think we are.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned, I talk about this all the time. You know, the line I always use is, you know, what they usually say about, why'd you rob the bank? Well, that's where the money is. So why do you buy a property like this in British Columbia? Well, that's where the metal is, right? You've got to be some mining that's been done right there or near there before, right?
There has been. There's some historical mining, some of it from the 50s and 60s, some of it back in 1912. And some pretty significant amounts of gold were pulled out of the ground in a couple of spots here. You got to remind yourself, too, like these are guys that were using hand tools and they did exploratory shafts and tunnels, and it was very archaic compared to what we can do today, but great to see because it further proves of what is really on the property, and it helps us as a guide in some ways as well.
Well, and you mentioned briefly the infrastructure, you know, because in some of these places you get out in the sticks, right? It's like, well, we can fly our helicopters there. Well, that's not going to get your drill rigs set up very easily. Tell us about how close you are to roads, that sort of thing.
So the property starts just 10 kilometers north of Terrace, British Columbia, 6 miles north. There's a couple of highways that go in and out. There's the CN Rail, Canadian National Rail Line for train freight. We've got a deep water seaport just down the road for shipping if we wanted to ship somewhere else to refine the minerals. We've got high-grade electrical power that runs across the property all over the place. There are logging roads everywhere. And it's just... it's unbelievably well accessible. We do use the helicopter, but you could almost say that we don't need the helicopter.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff is that you drive up a logging road, you park, and then you hike a few hundred feet into the bush and you're cracking a rock and finding visible gold.
Well, this is exciting. And this is like virgin territory, it almost seems like, you know, and I'm really curious to see how this all develops from here, because again, you've got such an experienced team and lot of excitement about that property up there. Where do you go from here, like in the short term, Nick? I mean, we're here at the company just went public 5-6 months ago. I would imagine you've got some pretty aggressive goals and plans for 2022. Can you share a few with us?
Sure thing. So for the remainder of the year and leading into the beginning of 2022, we are going to keep prospecting, keep proving up spots, channel cutting, soil grids, and you know, not just grab samples and keep those coming in, because like I said, the property's huge. So we're going to find location after location after location that we can drill. As we speak, there's 4 spots that are drill ready. So come spring, we're going to drill those 4 spots and probably another 4 to 6 that we feel will be good ones. We're just, you know, figuring that out right now. So the work's going to continue through winter. Drilling will start in spring. The company is extremely well capitalized. We got about $4.5 million in the bank right now. And, you know, we are doing another raise for a bit more, which is going to be used towards drilling. Mm-hmm. So we're in a great position in terms of geography, because it never gets that cold. We can work year round. Finances, because we got more than enough money that for what we need to do right now and more coming in. And an amazing story to be able to tell here, because we just have so much good news coming at us over the next while, because we're just going to keep working to get these samples in. And then when we get the samples back, let the markets know.
Yeah. Well, and again, I mean, it's a new company, so it's something that's under the radar for a lot of folks, I'm sure. I don't know if you know this answer or not. Are there issues? Do you anticipate issues getting some of that drilling done and getting it shipped off and assayed and everything else, given all the supply chain problems and everything else that's out there?
Well, a couple of things. Getting the assays back, the labs are definitely backed up right now.
Yep.
But that's turned out to not necessarily be a bad thing, because we just spent 7 months cracking rocks and sending them to the lab. So if they're backed up, well, that could end up working to our benefit, because it means that they're going to be sending us results every week for, you know, the next 7 or 8 months, especially when we keep on just submitting more. In regards to other supply chain stuff, no issues. The town's a really a great resource for any type of mining company. There's got an airport there. Like I was saying, there's, you know, rail lines, and there's deep water shipping, and actually Rio Tinto has a smelter just down the highway as well. Mm-hmm. Was ever of interest to use. And we're ready to go here. Everybody's so excited. There's so much excitement in our team and around us. And especially with having Mike as our leader, because, you know, he knows, we know what we can turn this into. So now it's our job to go and do it.
Yeah. And this is really kind of ground floor stuff. I've got, let's see, a couple of the financials here. I think we mentioned about, what'd you say, $4.5 million in cash Canadian?
Yeah, that's correct.
And I've got about 60 million fully diluted shares outstanding. In the U.S., that trades about $1.25 or so. So that puts us, what, about $80 million U.S. market cap?
Got it. I thought we were at about 49 million fully diluted shares.
So it's even less. Hey, that's even better news. Especially, well, you know what? It's probably less than it was a few days ago, given the way the markets have traded here at the end of November. Now, here's something I thought was interesting. You've got a symbol in Canada, right? PRR?
Yeah.
PRRSF in the U.S.? Did I see on your website there's also a like a French symbol?
That's in Frankfurt in Germany.
Yeah. Frankfurt, Germany. Okay.
Yeah. Germans and Austrians and Swiss, they love Canadian mineral companies.
We have a German and Austrian or European customer base here at TFMR, and I'm sure there's people listening from around the world too.
Good. So
that's another interesting way to access some exposure to your company. Again, we always want everybody. I mean, you got to do your own research, right? You got to do your due diligence. And I'll put a bunch of links on this page, not only to the Prospect Ridge website, but then within that website, you know, the investor presentation, some more information about the Holy Grail property. You've got this other property in Quebec. So that's it's not just this one thing that you have. So Nick, as we've discussed your company, we've talked about the jurisdiction you're in, the team you're in, the financial aspect of the company. As you put it all together, though, I mean, you mentioned your excitement to get started. I mean, at the end of the day, what's the most exciting part of Prospect Ridge, at least in your mind?
Do I have to pick one or can I pick two?
Yeah, if you hit us with whatever you'd like.
Okay, I can hit you with two things. Number one, I've been up there lots. I've seen the visible gold with my own eyes. I've seen it in numerous locations.
Wow.
I've seen how easily accessible it is. I love going out into the field, putting on boots, going out and getting, you know, dirty, maybe running into a grizzly bear, and cracking some rocks and seeing some visible gold with my own eyes. So that's really exciting to go up there and see us hit spot after spot after spot and see visible gold all over the place.
Crazy.
So that's exciting. Secondarily, it's really exciting to have Mike Iverson come on, because people in the Canadian mining industry, everybody knows who he is, that this guy is a legend in our part of the world, and he's been hugely successful. So that is pretty awesome too. So but between those two, I think those would probably be tied for my the two things that I find to be the most exciting. One other thing too that I wanted to add from earlier, you talked about getting ready for spring, getting ready to drill, et cetera. We have an talented and connected person who's come on. Her name's Jill. She ran the Smithers office of mining office for a decade, and she's the consultant that's handling all our permit applications and everything. And
she
knows how the offices work and all that, and so we feel very fortunate to have her on our team as well.
That's important too. No doubt about that.
Absolutely.
And how about your geologists? Can you share a little bit about them and their experience?
We have a couple geologists. One of them is Nikolai Gopel. He's currently he was just nominated for potential prospector of the year up in the Yukon. He's found some major stuff in his days. He's really knowledgeable. He's really passionate, and he's a good person. So he's been really positive to work with. There's also another fellow named Rain Turner. He's semi-retired, but he's done huge things in his career and is a pleasant guy and is so helpful and so knowledgeable. And having these scientists on board it's great. You know, it really bring in confidence. And actually, a funny little story. One of the days that we were in the helicopter for ease of hitting about six places in a very short time period, the geologists were really excited from what they'd seen in this rock. And it was deadly obvious. So Mike Iverson turns to me while wearing the headphones in the helicopter so everyone could hear. He's like, "You see how excited the geologists are? When I see geologists get that excited, I get excited because they know these guys use science. These guys prove that we have what we think we have."
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. That makes total sense.
They love their stuff. And when they see it, they get excited.
They do.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I'm so glad to get a chance to meet you, Nick, because like I said, I didn't know anything about your company a week ago. And as I started to look at it, saw that Mike was involved, and I thought, man, this is really, really interesting. And to hear it straight from you about all that you've got going on up there, man, I am glad it is on my radar. I'm going to follow your progress closely. And I'm sure everybody listening to this podcast is now going to do the same. Again, though, hey, before you don't just take my word for it or Nick's word for it. You got to do all your own due diligence, you know, assess your risk that you can handle, your time horizons, all that kind of stuff. You can start your research through the links on this page. You can also, again, those symbols, PRR for Prospect Ridge Resources up in Canada, PRRSF here in the States. Nick, I hope we can talk again. I envision getting back to you around the end of the first quarter or something like that next year and hearing all this enthusiasm in your voice again, just almost go even higher because I'm sure you'll have had great success already. Can we be sure to keep in touch?
Absolutely. I'd love to. And I'd love to share the stuff with you by then. I'm sure we'll have some more great things to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, please navigate hopefully the rest of the end of this year and we'll get into 2022. We'll see where we go from there for Prospect Ridge Resources. Again, we're speaking with Nick Luckshaw, who's the president of Prospect Ridge. Nick, again, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Greg. Much appreciated.
And from all of us here at TFMR, thanks for listening. We'll have another special CEO podcast again sometime soon.